Morning, everybody. Woo-hoo. We used to hide from the lights. We made friends with the night. We were headed the wrong way down a one-way track, going nowhere fast. We got used to the dark. We thought this is who we are, so we figured that we were just too far gone. But we were wrong. Then love came running like a river. We got washed in the water. Then he said, you're forgiven. Your sins are gone. That was then. This is now. Washed by the blood, saved by the sun. The saints all sing about. That was lost. This is found. It's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past. Box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back. That was then, and this is now. We've been remade by grace. We all got new names, and nothing we do could ever change what he did that day. Cause love came running like a river. We got washed in the water. Then he said, you're forgiven. And you belong. That was then. This is now. Washed by the blood, saved by the sun. The saints all sing about. That was lost. This is found. It's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past. Box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back, that was then. If we turn and confess every unrighteousness, he is faithful and just to forgive. So turn and confess every wrong and regret, and see what it means to live. Oh, oh, come on. Oh, oh, that was then. This is now. Washed by the blood, saved by the sun. The saints all sing about. That was lost. This is found. It's time to say goodbye to the old you now. So go ahead, put the past in the past. Box it up like an old photograph. You don't have to go back. That was then, and this is now. That was then, and this is now. Morning, everybody. Thank
you. Give it up for Bernie right there. Come on. You can react a little bit. I know we're a little small today. You know, when there's a hint of weather in the air, they were talking about spit and snow. People kind of, fair weather Christian. Wait, we don't do that, do we? It's good to see you all here today. Now, listen, we do have a small crowd today. If the Lord moves in your heart, and you're a Christian, you can move forward. Got to look around. Move forward. Go to the light. Come to the light. Okay. And we'll do that in a minute. Wait a second. You guys, get back. Give me some space here. You guys, so as the Lord moves. But we'll know who the real spiritual people are. Good to see you, Brother Jim. Good to see you. I haven't seen you for a while, brother. Good to see you. We're going to have a great service today. We're going to talk about Revelation 15. We're back in Revelation, folks. Ooh, some of you say ooh. Some of you say ooh. Yeah, I know. We've been getting mixed feelings about it. People are asking me, Dave, when are we going to get out of Revelation, get into something more positive? I said, you know, to me, the book of the Revelation is positive. It's all about the coming of Christ, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I can hardly wait for that time. Amen. All right, let's pray, and then we'll do our meet and greet. Lord, we thank you for today. We just pray that you'll bless us as we share together. And Lord, we're so happy that we can come to this place on Sunday and we can share and open the Word and we can lift up your name and praise it through song and through our hearts. So bless us today as we lift up your name. Bless each and every person that's come, and I pray, Lord, that you'll be even with those that aren't here today, that your Spirit will be moving and challenging them. So bless us in Christ's name, we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now, before you sit down, shake someone's hand and say, God bless you, as you're starting the movement forward. Did you like that? We're going to have an altar call here. See, they're going to move forward. We're having an altar call. Let's say move forward, see. They don't know it, but they're moving forward, see. Uh-huh. Altar call, don't they come forward?
They're supposed to.
Okay, that's good enough. I guess that's good enough. I said, we do have some. I got some back row Baptists that have moved way down to the front. You know what? You're off to the side. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, what's so unique about this is not too many of you moved. It's okay, though. I'm just going to say this out loud. We forgive you. Okay, we have Gary Dooms with us in the house, arguably the best horn player in town. He's going to play one of my favorites here in a moment, but he's going to play. What are you going to play for us? All right, give him a hand, Gary Dooms. Good job. Gary Dooms. I love that. Well, folks, it's the Blues Brothers. They have blue jackets. They got it. Some of them did. We got Forrest and Justin here. The Herzog Brothers. They do bluegrass. Anybody like bluegrass here? All right. We love it around here. This is kind of it's big out here. What was that?
I'm talking about going to sing into the red one.
Oh, you're going to sing into the red one. Okay. We're just doing a little bit of finagling here.
I'm finagled. I'm ready.
We got Forrest here's on the mandolin. We call him Mandolin Boy. We've got Justin on the guitar. And they're going to do a couple. You're going to do a couple of numbers for us, right?
We're going to spend the first part of the song getting ready.
They're getting ready.
No, not usually.
Okay. Forrest plays with the George Jones Shows right here. And Justin plays with the C.J. Newsom and friends at the Patsy Cline Show over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Americana.
That's going to have to work.
So they're going to do it. Give it up for them. The Herzogs.
What are we doing?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
We have some minor technical adjustments.
Oh.
Oh, looky there. You could have just left it muted. Thanks, buddy.
There we go.
Okay.
Hey. But the storms of life
As a child, I heard preachers say that you were a sinner's friend. I remember when I came to you with a heart so black with sin. Oh, the night you turned my life around, seemed you made me over new. The mercy that you showed me, Lord, kept me coming back to you. If you just squeeze my hand, let me feel you by my side.
Feel you by my side.
You said you'd never, never leave me.
Lord, you'd always be my God.
But the storm.
Worship today. Well, usually on Super Bowl Sunday I talk about the Super Bowl game, but I'm not saying a whole lot today. There's one redeeming thing. I got to tell you this. The quarterback for the Eagles. Did any of you read about that? He's really a born-again Christian. Not just a born-again Christian. Little background on him. He was a second-string quarterback in the pros. So he's probably making scale. They call it scale in the pros because he's not a starter. Well, about halfway through the season, they brought him up because the first-string quarterback got injured. So he's started the game. And his percentages are the highest in the NFL, completions and passing. And they started interviewing him and talking to him, and he started sharing his testimony of how he was a Christian, and he didn't care what anyone thought about that, but he loved the Lord. Not only is he a Christian, but he's studying to be a pastor. He's in seminary. And he said, that's really what I want to do. I like playing football. I love it. But he said, I want to be a pastor. And he said, God has given me a platform, get this, to work with young people. Oh. Was my heart, too. He's the real deal. So pray for him today. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about Super Bowl Sunday, okay? Don't pray for the old man. Pray for him. Okay. We like Christians to win. Amen? I mean true Christians. Okay, enough said. We're in chapter 15 of the book of the Revelation. We call it the Revelation. We've been away in John chapter 3 for a couple of weeks. And then we had some ice, and then I was in Charlotte, North Carolina last week. So it's January went by. And we didn't have a whole lot going on our Sundays here because of the ice storms and so forth. But we're back. And we're going to complete this book. Some of you can hardly wait till we get through it. Some of you say, just keep preaching in it. I mean, it's a 50-50 deal. It is. Some of you love it because of the imagery and The fact that Jesus Christ is coming back again is going to be a revelation. And the whole world will see Him and know Him as who He is. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Some of you, when we talk about the plagues, the judgments, the sealed judgments, which lead into the trumpet judgments, which lead into the vial or bowl, or as we're going to talk about it today, saucer judgments. They are waves that hit the world during the time in the Old Testament called Jacob's woe or Jacob's trouble. Or as we know it today, as the seven-year period, the tribulation, people get afraid of catastrophes, of bad things that happen. But you know, we look around today, we see bad things happening all over the world. Amen? There's earthquakes. There's tsunamis. When we talk about them, we're talking about multiples that happen. There are outages and people die. There's influenza epidemic. They're calling it an epidemic. The plague that's hitting so many people. The young people are affecting them. The older people, they're dying. We're seeing it all over. And we're getting hit by bad things. And guess what? Bad things happen to good people. I said that before. So not all of us are immune to bad things. Look at the early church and the martyrdom they went through. It's on the blood of the martyrs that our church was built and that we're sitting here in a theater 2,000 years after the fact that Jesus Christ was here. The book of the Revelation promises that if you study it and if you look at it, God will bless you a special blessing. So we cannot remove the blessing of God and just study the parts of the Bible we like. Amen? We don't want to study the parts that convict us. Oh, that's too much. We like the part that we're not involved in, and it just sounds good to our ears. Well, we have enough of that being preached on television today, right now. All Christians should be rich. We should never have trouble. You should never be sick. Name it, claim it, blame it. You know how it goes. If anything bad happens, it's all your fault. No, during the tribulation, the church or the people that are Christians will die for their faith. Bad things will happen to good people, the best people. And guess what? That bad thing that they think is they cut their heads off or destroy them, whatever they're going to do and kill them, is the best thing because they go to heaven to be with Jesus Christ forever and ever. And that's the picture of John giving us in Revelation chapter 15 today. Remember, think about it. Here's this little guy, John, the beloved. He's probably shrunken up and is 90 years old, and he's working in a rock quarry because they exiled him to the Isle of Patmos, which was a Roman penal colony. They were cutting rock and everything. And so he has to work during the day. And at nighttime, he has these visions, so he doesn't sleep. And God is telling him this and giving him these messages, and he's probably writing it down as best he can with the help of his friends. Book of the Revelation, when you read it, it's magnanimous. It's awesome and it's awful all in one scope. It's awesome and it's awful because there's a terrifying thing when God reacts to the sin in the world. Chapter 15 says, I saw another sign in heaven. Remember there was another sign? There was a woman dressed in red, Babylon the great harlot. There was a sign that talking about the destructive one world order and then the religious system that was coming. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Great. I love that word in the Greek is mega, where we get our word mega for everything. Mega this, mega that, which means very large, big, huge. Oh, now they use the word uber. But that's become synonymous with the new taxis. Okay. Mega. Great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, the seven last judgments. Plagues doesn't mean epidemics or sicknesses necessarily. Plagues means to wound someone or to hurt someone. That's what the word plague means in the Greek. So God is going to wake up the people that are non-believers through these final judgments, the last final judgments. The seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. God is angry. He's ticked off. The wrath of God. We've always known Him, I said, as the loving God. That's one of God's attributes. God is love. It's true. He loves us. He wants us to be with Him. But if we choose other gods, if we turn our backs on Him, and we go the way the world is, we have nothing to hope to gain except the wrath of God. Not love, not benevolence, not nice, but the wrath of God. It makes sense. Because if we destroy our lives here on this earth, God is going to destroy us in the next life. If we live for the devil, we're going to be with the devil. If we live for the world, we're going to be with the world. We make a choice one way or another. Either we're going to be with God or we're going to be with Satan. The wrath of God is kindled against Satan. Whoever is with Satan will receive the wrath of God. Now look at verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. Remember the throne room in the sea of glass? We already talked about it. It's a great thing. That sea of glass is where I believe the Bema Seat judgment is going to take place, on the sea of glass, in the throne room in heaven. What's interesting about that glass is that you can see through it. Nothing hidden. So when we're out there being judged, and the Bible says we all will be out there being judged, and we're going to be judged for the good things and the bad things we did in this body. You say, well, I didn't know that. I thought all sins are forgiven under the blood of Jesus. Yeah, that's some theology somebody came up with because they don't want to deal with sin. The Bible tells us that at the Bema Seat judgment, we're going to be judged for things we did in this flesh, in this body, good and bad. That's evil in the Greek, bad. Kakos, which means sinful things. I'm one of those. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. But I believe in justice. And God believes in justice too. And He's the just judge. At the Bema Seat judgment, we will be judged for those things we did in this body, in the flesh, good and bad. Now, you know what? My mama, I love her to death, but she always had this theology that once we accept Jesus Christ, our sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. It says that in the Bible. He no longer remembers them. It's true. Past sins. Your past is dealt with at the cross. But guess what? You have a future, right? Now you live your life for the Lord. Or guess what? You can choose to live for Satan. You say, well, I didn't think you could make a choice like that once you're a Christian. Oh, you still have a free choice, a free will. Yeah, you do. Do you never sin? Oh, yes, we sin. Do you ever have one bad thought in your mind? Do you ever have an anger thought towards somebody, a hateful thought? Do you ever have a lustful thought? Yeah, that's sin. But guess what? You have a choice. You can choose to ask God to forgive you. You have that advocate, Jesus Christ, or you can choose to just stay in your sin and go the way of Satan. Many people who think they're born-again Christians and are living in sin will never see heaven. They'll never see the kingdom of heaven. They'll never see the light. And I think it's worse for people that grow up in a Christian home where they've heard it since they were children. And maybe they made some type of commitment or thought they did. And came up in the Lord. And then when they come of age, they just completely turn their backs on the Lord and they go out and live in the world. Kind of like the prodigal son. Now the truth about the prodigal is if he would have stayed with the pigs and died with the pigs, he would have died in his sins and not been a true son. But he proved he was a true son. Why? He came back home, didn't he? The Father received him. But I know some people that are Christian that are going to go out in their sin. I have no hope for their soul. Their soul is eternally lost. Scary thing. The Bible says it's a frightening thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Whether you're Christian or think you're Christian, that's the truth, or a non-believer. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Think about it. Now look what it says here. The sea of glass mingled with fire. There it is. Now fire's coming up. What's going to happen? It's talking about judgment, purifying judgment. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. They got the victory. Nike in the Greek. Nike. We have that company over here that puts shoes out and you know, your athletic wear and all that. Nike. You didn't know about Nike? It means champion, victorious, overcomers. All these are the words we use. These people that are standing out in the sea of glass, as God is getting ready to pour out his final judgment on the earth, they got harps in their hands. Oh, guess what? They're mandolin boys. And they probably never knew how to play the harp before, but they're singing and praising God. The harps were pictured in images of praising and singing to God. David played on that harp. The giant killer, yeah, yeah. And they were singing and praising God. That was great today, by the way, guys. Loved it. All of the worship was just great today. Everyone's going to be having that harp. All those that have died in the Lord Jesus during the tribulation. Look what it says. These are the ones that overcame the beast and had gotten the victory. And over his image, they did not bow down and worship the image of the beast. They would rather die for Jesus than to worship the beast. They proved they were Christian by not worshiping the beast. And guess what? There's more. And over his mark, they did not take the mark of the beast. So they didn't bow and worship him. They're victorious as they live for Jesus Christ. Everyone knows they're a Christian. And over the number of his name, 666, they stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. They're with God because they got the victory. Well, you say they died. Some of these are the 144,000 that give up their lives for the Lord, the witnesses, the evangelists. Some of these are going to be the two witnesses that die and go to heaven. Some of these will be other martyrs that are killed during the tribulation because they love the Lord. But they prove who they are. They overcome the beast. Their victory comes over them because they do not serve him, they do not worship him, they do not take the mark of the beast, they do not claim his name, and their lives are perfect according to the word of God. They live according to Christ. What do they get for it? Their lives are shortened. They are martyred for their faith. But then they go to heaven. They're all standing in the throne room. What proves that we're a Christian today? I have everyone tell me all kinds of stuff. I baptized when I was a kid. I go, that's good. Half the world is baptized. I said, give me something else. They said, well, I remember I walked forward in church one time. I said, that's good. Half the world have some type of spiritual movement in their hearts somewhere, sometime, a glimpse of a conscience. Something happened somewhere. I said, give me something else. Well, I joined this church. I joined the Baptist church. I said, it's not enough. Tell me why you're Christian. And prove to me you're Christian. You know, some people say, well, I don't have to prove to you nothing. All I have to do is prove to God. Well, you know what? If you're proving it to God, you're going to prove it to me. Amen? If you're living the life for Jesus Christ, if your life is where it should be, you're going to show the whole world who you are. The Bible says this, if we walk in the light, and it's conditional. If we walk in the light, Jesus' light, we have fellowship with him. That means jointly participating. We participate with Jesus Christ. We live like him. We act like him. We behave like him. That's what the word Christian means, little Christ. They look at us and they look at Jesus. They see him. They see us. They see us. They see him. Goes back and forth because our lives line up with him. There's no subterfuge. There's no double life. There's no us living in the world and one foot in some church and, you know, I went to the cradle row when I was little and I heard all about it. No. There's none of this double standard stuff with Jesus Christ. There's one standard, his standard. If we have accepted Jesus Christ, we walk in the light. And the whole world knows it. We don't bow to Satan. We don't worship him by living the way he wants us to live. We don't take his mark in our body by doing the things the world wants us to do, being immoral, promiscuous, by being drugged up and getting drunk and drunkenness and doing all the things the world just clamors for on a daily basis. We don't do the things that hurt other people. We don't destroy the work of Christ. And each and every day we wake up, the first thing on our mind isn't wanting to run with the devil's crowd. It's to do what God wants us to do. That's a Christian right there. So don't tell me you said a formula prayer. Don't ever come up to me, yeah, I said a prayer. I said the sinner's prayer. So what? So what? Hundreds of thousands of people, even in the United States, have done that. Maybe even millions. And they live like Satan. The proof is where we are in our life. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You walk in the light, that blood continues to cleanse you. Why? Because you want to make sure your heart is right with the Lord. If you sin, you have the advocate. You come to Jesus Christ. He goes to the Father. We have the blood that takes care of it. But guess what? If you want to live continually in this world and do what it wants you to do, you're not going to make it. These people made it because they continued and remained until the end. They persevered till the end. They continued in the process of living for Jesus Christ, and they had to pay the ultimate price with their lives. And there they are standing in the throne room all around, and they're singing, and they have the harps. Verse 3. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. These are some bold statements they're making. They're singing the song of Moses, the servant of God. Oh, we go back to the Old Testament now, folks. Remember what happened? The Red Sea? They were in a tough way. They were in a bad situation. Pharaoh's army was closing in on them, and all they have in front of them is the Red Sea. And it was not a dried up place called the Reed Sea, where anyone could walk across it. It was the Red Sea. They were cornered. Why were they terrified? Why were they so upset? There was no place for them to go. You remember what happened? God supernaturally came and blew his breath, the wind, across the Red Sea, and it parted. And it dried out the wet area where they walked around on dry ground. Supernatural act of God, a miracle that took place. Guess what? No matter what science says today, it's never happened again at the Red Sea. Never recorded. Here's the time it was recorded. And guess what? Israel is still alive today, proving the fact that they went through that Red Sea. They got out of Egypt. Now look what it says here. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. And here's that song. I've got to read it. Just listen. Exodus 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel after God had saved them this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. If we got up in the morning, folks, and we were singing this song of Moses to the Lord, we would have strength. We'd have the ability to go through and navigate the day without being all messed up like we usually get. They sang this song unto the Lord, the song of Moses. The Lord is my strength and my song. He is become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Guess what? They're singing this song because he's getting ready for battle. Armageddon is right around the corner. God is a God of war. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also drowned in the Red Sea. You don't drown in the Reed Sea where it's 3 or 4 inches and it's a marsh. Pharaoh's army was wiped out because they went through the Red Sea. The Red Sea, as we know it, was a miracle. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as of stone, just one sideline. They go into the Red Sea today and they're still finding chariot wheels thousands of years. How did they get in the bottom of the Red Sea? Oh, somebody took a boat out in the middle and they threw a wheel out. That's what they did, right? That's what the critics say. The idiots. Come on, we'll call it what it is, because they don't believe in God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Come on, we've got to get real. And it's coming time that God is going to reveal himself in a magnanimous way. It's starting to happen. His chosen captains also drowned. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. They're singing this after God has saved them. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon that. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. I love that. They went down as a lead balloon, man, as a rock. God took care of them. He covered them. He protected them. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand. The earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength into the holy, thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. In the tribulation, God's anger is kindled, just like it was kindled against Pharaoh and his army. The people of Edom, is talking about the people of Philistina, Palestine, the Canaanites. They begin to dread the God of the Hebrews. During the time of the tribulation, people are going to dread the true God. But guess what? Instead of accepting him, they're going to be just like Pharaoh in Egypt. Their hearts are hardened. During the tribulation, they have all the chances in the world to accept Christ, to turn their lives around, and they will harden up. Sin will become rampant, the Bible says. There will be more sin. more debauchery, more immorality, all the filthiness, all the unrighteousness, all the evil will be at its worst during the tribulation period. And they will steel themselves against God, the one true God, even as He's getting ready to pour out. And it says this, the Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots, with his horsemen to the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land into the midst of the sea. Now, here's the truth. They're singing this song in heaven around the throne room. This song, the song of Moses. I just said it to you. They're talking about the provision of God and how He does save. You know what's weird about it? It's these people have lost their lives for the Lord. And they're singing about His protection and His overpowering strength to take care of them. And they're dead. They're dead. Because you know what? There's more to this life than this body. I figured that out driving to Charlotte this last week. I drove 16 hours straight the first day. Made it no problem. Then we started working. We had our meetings and everything. And the last day, Tuesday, was an all-day thing. We had all these meetings. And Diddy's and I were running around. And I think I ran 4 miles on the floor. I looked at my, you know, like whatever. 4 miles. I don't have a Fitbit. It was on my phone. Yeah, whatever. But ran 4 miles. Just trying to take. And so then we changed. And then we got in the car and we drove out from Charlotte. I thought, just like I used to do. I'm a kid still, I think. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go 15 hours straight. It would only be 13 hours, but, you know, we had three ladies in the car. And you know what that means. You have to stop. We went past Knoxville. Hit this little town of Cooksville. And I hit the proverbial brick wall. You know, they say like during a running of a marathon, you hit the brick wall. I hit it. I started to doze. I said, I can't hold it. I was chewing on ice. I was drinking cold water, holding my mouth, make my teeth hurt, you know. You know what I'm talking about, right? You've tried all the tricks, right? Finally, I said to the king, I said, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. Got to pull over. So we pulled over. And we went to this hotel. And it looked like a really nice hotel. All painted up real nice. The signs were bright and lit up. I think it was even called America's Best Hotel. How can you go wrong? America's Best Hotel. I said, let's just go there. It looks like a nice hotel, is it? So the lady came, pushed a button, the lady came, we did all of our stuff and everything. I said, are these nice rooms? Oh, they're very nice. Yeah, right. As soon as we opened the door, put the key in, opened the door to go into the walkway, the first walkway, I could smell it. No. When you could smell it, it's bad. It's bad. Denise said, oh. Denise looked at it and said, oh, there's duct tape. We're in trouble. Duct tape. As we went into the hallway, I saw towels down. And I said, we're in trouble. We walked into the rooms, and the beds looked like this. I said, oh, look, they're sled beds. Look at, they're good. Recliner beds, see? They got that thing going. I looked around, said, is there a TV? There's a little 24-inch one like this up on the wall. I looked in the bathroom. You never want to look in the bathroom. I said, we're only going to be here 4 hours. Let's just don't think about it. Let's just... The next thing I know is our door opens. And Aaron's mother comes running in. We're with the group, and we have two rooms. Aaron, his mother is the guru. She worked at the Radisson for all these years. Come on. She comes running in. Oh, we got to see if there are bed bugs in here. She pulled up the sheets and started looking to the side to see if there are any bed bugs. She goes, I don't see any, but that doesn't mean they are. So guess what? It puts the thought in your mind. We crawled into bed. I kept all my clothes on. We crawled into bed. Denise was there. I was there. I closed my eyes for a couple hours. Then finally I said, let's go. So we got in. We banged on the wall. Everyone was up. We got out of there. We didn't shower. We didn't really. We just got. And I had this thought as I was driving away from that hotel because I kept looking back at it. It looked so nice on the outside. It looked so great. America's best hotel. Don't ever stay there. It's in Cooksville. The price was right. It looked so good. It looked so inviting. But inside it was all messed up. I think about these martyrs that are standing there. They proved who they were by giving up their lives. They stood strong for the Lord. They lived Christ. They had the fruits of the Spirit. God was working in their lives. And because of that evidence of Christ in them, they died for their faith. And I thought about so many people today that claim to be Christian. They're all painted up real nice on the outside. They wear signs and labels over their head. Baptist, Methodist, we're great. Christian church, we're Assembly of God. We're Nazarene even. We're Lutheran. We're this and Catholic, whatever. We got all these labels and we got that sign up and it looks so good and inviting. And yet, in our heart of hearts, we're not where we're supposed to be. There's sin in our life. There's corruption, stinky stuff. It's not good. We're not clean. I thought about that as I left. I thought about this lesson. We as Christians have got to make drastic lifestyle changes in our lives. We got to get rid of the things that are taking us down, the habits that are taking us away from the Lord, the destructive behavior that's come into our lives. We've allowed it to come into our lives. The things we watch on television, the movies we see, the music we listen to that pounds us with words and philosophy that's ungodly and unchristlike. We have got to come to a place where we give it all up to the Lord. And we get our lives back on track with Jesus Christ. We need to go to boot camp. We need to get ourselves shatterproof to the world and Satan and his wiles. We have to become so protective of one another and help one another get back on track that Jesus Christ is all in all to each and every one of us. If we see a Christian brother or sister sinning and falling by the wayside, you got to grab them. You got to shake them maybe and wake them up and say, don't you know that Jesus is coming back again? He's coming soon. And he's going to pour his wrath upon all the unbelievers. Once again, there'll be a lot of people on this world that went to church. They know Scripture. They can write Scripture. They can quote Scripture. They say that they made some decision for the Lord, but they're going to be here. And guess what? The wrath of God's going to be poured out upon them because they're unbelievers. Lord, Lord, I did great deeds. I preached. I healed the sick. We cast out demons in your name. I don't know who you are. It's our heart. Somebody said to me recently, well, if we just get them to read the Word and we get them to write it and we get them to try to memorize it, I said, it's not going to do anything if their heart isn't right. I said, it's a heart problem that we've got in the church and in the world. You can educate them. You can throw it at them. You can make them do and quote and wrote out whatever comes from their, but if it's not coming from their heart, it's coming from their head, not their heart, it's not going to do anything. We need a transformed heart. Amen. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. The transformation process is not easy. Sometimes it takes some painful experiences. Sometimes it takes the loving, chastening hand of the Lord to bring us back. If you're truly a son, truly a daughter, and you're living in sin, habitually, continually, you're Satan's pawn. You're not going to make it to heaven. That's straight up. But if you're a Christian and you love the Lord and you try the best with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might to love the Lord and to follow Him. Doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean you do not sin. But if you do sin, you have the advocate, Jesus Christ. If you do that, and you follow Him, you're a Christian. You have nothing to worry about. Even death itself will never separate you from the love of Christ. Nothing can separate you. But if you're here today and there's sin in your life, you need to get it right. You need to confess. Maybe you're here today, and if you died right now, you don't know for sure if you go to heaven. If you're here and you're really honest, you say, Brother Dave, if I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven, but I want to know the Lord. I want to make sure that I'm a Christian today. If you don't know for sure, there's questions in your heart, questions in your mind. Maybe there's sin in your heart, and that's keeping you from the Lord. And you say, I want to make sure today that I know Christ. If you're like that, would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. And maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Dave, I'm a Christian. I see your hand back there. God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Dave, I am a Christian. But there's sin in my heart. And I need to get it right with the Lord. If you're like that, would you slip your hand up and put it down? No one's looking. Yes, all over. We're going to take this moment, folks. This is your moment right now. You know, you may leave here today. We may never see each other again. But this is your moment to make sure you're right with the Lord. Take this moment. Say this prayer in your heart with me. Just in your heart. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I thank you for saving me. But Lord, I confess to you that I haven't lived the life you've wanted me to live. There's sin in my heart. And I ask you to forgive me of my sin. And name those sins to Him. He knows about it and you know it. And so does Satan. Confess that sin to Him right now. Lord, I thank you for forgiving me and for covering me with your blood. I ask you to help me to live for you. Lord, that I will love you. That I will fight for you. That I will give my heart to you, my soul, my strength each and every day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming out today. It's been a blessing you being here. Didn't the gang do a great job singing today? Forrest and Justin, love you guys. Gary, you did great. Played my favorite song, As the Deer Panteth for the Water. I just love that one. And put your hand in the hand. Amen. Bernie, great as always. We love you. What the Spirit was here. Amen. I want to thank you all for coming. We're going to have communion here in a moment. Just take some moment after we dismiss. If you're able to stay, we invite you to stay. And once again, it just takes a moment. And we'll sit down and do the Lord's table. On the way out, there's a bucket if you're able to help. If you've noticed, we've ripped up the carpet. Actually, to be honest, Denise, Tony, and a couple of others, Jim, Brother Jim was here, and some of the others got a hold of this carpet and ripped it up. All of our lights are gone. We got new lights sitting in the back, new carpet coming this week. Next week, hopefully, you'll come in here and you're going to go, oh, we have a whole new theater. That carpet's going to be a big change. Amen? And we've been praying about that and waiting for a long time. I want to thank some of you that got behind us and helped us and gave some donations. If you do on your donations, some of you are still getting some donations on the carpet. Put carpet on that so that we know. Okay? Let's all stand together. We want to thank you all for coming out today and being part of this. We do have some prayer requests. Let me get my glasses again and put them away. I can't see without my glasses. Hal and Fern aren't here, but Fern Johnson had fallen at the beauty shop, and she'd hurt herself. Let's just keep praying for her. She's doing better now. She was in the hospital, but she's I think she's coming home and going to be starting to work on her physical therapy. So lift Fern and Hal and them up to the Lord. Phyllis is here. We want to lift her up to the Lord. They're doing testing. They still don't know through the biopsies and everything, but, you know, we put our hands and faith in the Lord, not in the hands of doctors, really. But the doctors are the human instrument that God uses. So let's just pray for Phyllis. It's good to have Kevin, her son, here with her, helping her, but it's just good to have her in church. She knows where to come. Teddy Higginbotham, Jr., just pray for him and the cancer. Donna Quested isn't here today. This is lift her up to the Lord. Ran into Lou Carroll at over at Walmart. Let's just lift him up to the Lord. And Carol, I'm going to stop by and see them this week. Bill and Wanda, let's give them a prayer and that God will just touch Brother Bill and continue to be with them. And Wanda will get the strength. She's 100% the caregiver there and just working. And just lift her up to the Lord. Give her a call sometime and talk to her. Tell her you love her. Tell her you haven't forgotten about her. But just lift them up to the Lord. Want to also remember Lynn Brom. Debbie's here today. It's good to have Debbie here. And that Lynn, he's over at the Shepherd of the Hills, the nursing facility. Let's just lift Lynn and Debbie up to the Lord. Leon's not here today. Let's just remember him in prayer. Richard and Bonnie Jenkins, let's continue to lift them up to the Lord. Ray Northern, let's just lift him up to the Lord, that God will continue to bless him. Lou, Liz, and Kim Kelly, let's pray that God will just look after them and bless them and encourage them. And I think that's it for today. Let's give these to the Lord, and then we'll dismiss. And if you're able to stay, we'll do the communion. Lord, we thank you for your healing hand and protective hand. I pray that you'll touch these that are sick and infirm. You'll raise them up from their sick beds. These that are going through testing and everything, I pray that you'll give them the strength and the comfort. I know it's always an anxious time. But Lord, if we're in your hands, we know that we're in the best hands. So bless them and encourage them, I pray. So, Lord, I pray that you will help them and strengthen them, each and every one. All of these requests we give to you, asking you to touch them in Jesus' name. And, Lord, for our church and those that are traveling and away, I just pray that you'll bless us. And, Lord, you'll encourage us and continue to have your hand upon us up here. We thank you for all the good things you bring into our lives, the people, the fellowship that we have. So be with us now. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for coming.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.